Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. Pardon me. A frog in my throat. Hello. Today we're going to be talking about boredom. Yes, and hopefully that's something that doesn't happen to us, but sometimes it creeps in. And if boredom occurs, well, it's going to hinder a successful outcome. It really will. Boredom of the leader, boredom of the participants, boredom of both, which is really what happens because it makes a circle. So as we often do on this show, let's first define what boredom is within our context, within the context of a alternative dispute resolution, a mediation, a negotiation, a workshop, a seminar, whatever it is that we're doing to get people together to bring them to consensus and a successful outcome. So, pardon me, I'm going to take a little sip of water. What is boredom within our context? Oh, I see we have lots of participation. Thank you all for being here. Wonderful. And thank you all for your wonderful participation. Yay. Let's see. Now, Rodney and others are saying, this is kind of funny actually, but true. Rodney and others are saying that boredom within our context is having too much experience. We've done it too many times. Too much experience. You know what? I think we're going, these are so wonderful. And I see that we've got the same, pretty much consensus on what is boredom within our context. Let's state these. Let's do them. And then let's talk about them individually for our show. That's kind of a good idea because then we will, well, we'll discuss what to do about it, right? Yeah. So too much experience. My goodness, we've done this too many times. We're getting kind of bored. You know, that's one of the wonderful things about this show. I've been doing it for years now, and a lot of you have been listening for years. Thank you so much for being here and for all of your participation. And I never get bored because it's always different, right? Yeah. We pick different topics. We try not to pick the same ones. And if we kind of circle back again, it's not after, you know, like, a year or something. It's been a while. And we always have a different discussion because it's an interactive show, right? It's not scripted. I would be really bored if I was reading something for the whole hour that, well, even if it had been recently written, but especially if it had been written years ago, right? And I was just repeating something. Ooh, that would be so boring. We've all seen that. A lot of people are giving examples of that, yes. Mostly school examples. I must tell you that I can remember, actually, you know, I cannot hardly remember my own name sometimes. I remember actually her name, but I won't say it because she might still be alive, although it's unlikely. But I had an English teacher in high school. She was kind of a maiden lady, and she had been teaching a really long time. She taught high school English. And she had a ringed notebook. Every day she had the lesson set out. She'd done it years and years before. And she just sat up there and read it to us. It was the most boring class in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one of her assignments that she made us do was memorize poetry. Really old poetry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. The only one that I can remember is the Grecian urn. Do you have any idea? Oh, never mind. You'll all Google it and find out that it's just, it was a real lesson in boredom of her because she was bored. I mean, she was just putting in her time until she could retire. She was kind of oldish. And a lesson in boredom for us, the students, because we had to sit through it every day. At a certain time, you sat through her. And it was just, yes, it was before the internet. We couldn't even text each other. It was so sad. Anyway, so too much experience. Done it too long. Yeah. Jade Lynn and others are saying that boredom within our context is also over-specialization, so that we see the same type of disputes. Over-specialization so that we see the same type of disputes. If day in, day out, we see the same thing. Kind of. I see corporate a lot. It's not really the same, though. We'll talk about that in a minute. Darcy and others are also citing a lack of enthusiasm. They've lost their enthusiasm for it. Or the participants have lost their enthusiasm. Or, you know, sometimes you've got a group that didn't have any enthusiasm in the first place because they got forced to come. Oftentimes, this is a forced corporate team building, right? Or they're forced to come to the seminar or workshop because it's a mandatory requirement, right? They come with a lack of enthusiasm, but they leave enthusiastic if you're doing it right, right? They come like, oh, God, I have to go to this. I'd much rather be, oh, fill in the blank, eating lunch. I don't know what they'd much rather be. So, yes, people are voting for searching for porn on the internet. Yes, well, we'll just ignore that fact. But probably true. Which is why employers have all those filters, right? Right. But they come like, oh, darn it, why am I here? And they leave enthusiastic because they've learned something. That's our goal. So lack of enthusiasm. But if the leader lacks it, You know, this is a really good point that Gita and others are making. And thank you all for all of your participation. Boredom within our context is really a lack of respect for the other people. Lack of respect for the other people. Yeah. Boredom's really kind of borderline hostility sometimes, right? Yeah. Oh, that's a good phrase. Gita and a lot of other people are using the phrase passive-aggressive. You evidence boredom in a participant especially, but it's really a way to tune out, like passive-aggressive. Yeah, they just sit there with their arms folded, looking straight ahead, right? That's really lack of respect. Lack of respect for the other participants. Yes. Maybe lack of respect for the leader. We can fix that. What else is boredom within our context? Sharon and others are saying it's a refusal to really listen because you already know what will happen. A refusal to really listen because you already know what will happen. Yeah. And there's another side of that. Paul and others are saying that boredom within our context is a lack of empathy because you have no interest in the other people or in the issues either, right? No interest, lack of empathy, no interest in the other people. And that is a refusal to listen also because if you're not going to listen, you can't get empathy. It doesn't just grow, right? Yeah. So we've gotten about 6 of them? Yeah. So these are our general areas where we have boredom within our context, right? Let's take them one by one because we want to know what to do about them and how to fix it because we are a practical show, right? Yeah. That's why you're all here. And thank you all for being here and for returning and for coming now and for participating. Yes. But we're practical people. We like theory as well as the other person, but we're practical. We want to know what to do about these things, not just talk about them, right? Right. So our first one was having too much experience causes boredom, right? Yeah. Because, I personally have been doing mediation and negotiation for more than 30 years. Yes, professionally. I was a child when I became a lawyer. Just saying. Yeah. You all see my picture up there somewhere. And yeah, just saying that it was hard to become a lawyer at the age of 4. Oh, no, just kidding. But you get experience under your belt, right? And sometimes people do, yes, thank you. I don't know if this is an Americanism or not, but it happens all over the world. You know, there's kind of a phrase called midlife crisis, right? And it means that when people have been doing whatever their profession is for a while and their lives have gotten kind of set, they kind of 50-ish break out and want to do something different. You know people like that? Yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know if I want to call it a trend or not, but it's kind of something that magazine articles talk about, I guess. But it's kind of a phrase and kind of a life cycle phase that, yeah, people are saying that happens all over the world. Ooh, you change spouse. Well, that happens too, yeah. I mean, you get kind of tired of each other, but that's beyond the scope of this, of course. But within our context, sometimes people get kind of bored, right? Yeah, they have too much experience. So what should we do about it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point that Leandras and others are saying that every time is different because you're dealing with different people. I find that. I'm not in the least bit bored because I really like people. And I really like dealing with different people. And you know, when you do negotiation, alternative dispute resolution, anything that deals with groups of people needing to reach consensus and a successful outcome, it is always different. Because you've always got a different group of people, right? And if you don't always have a different group of people and the whole thing's going stale, we could reform the teams, right? Yeah. Reform. Yeah. Thank you. This is where you reformat what you're doing. If you say, for example, I have this occasionally, but I don't have it so often that I'm bored with the people. I am on contract to do some seminars and workshops with the same group of people, essentially speaking. They are upper management in corporations, right? And we meet once a month, which is not too often, right? Yeah, it's only 12 times a year. But we communicate in between times. And we are problem solving and we are learning. And because it's the same group of people, I come in with a topic. And we also discuss what has happened over the month and how to deal with people. But I like to come in with a different topic, too, so that it's not just a gripe session, not just complaints, not just kind of grumbling, right? We want to learn something. We want to say what it was that we did during the time we haven't seen each other. Yeah, pick something interesting that you've done. You see, even with the same group of people, we don't get tired of each other. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of us in the group, the main thing we have in common is the group, right? Because we are in different levels. I have one that is multi-level within the corporation. It's one corporation. It's very big. And I swear to you, I think somebody picked the group by random. I mean, it's a relatively big group, and I teach a workshop, an ongoing series. And it was, I don't know how to say this nicer, but it was a choice, like from a list of choices of a mandatory training you could go to. And because I had been there before and my reputation was really good, I got a huge amount of people choosing me. It didn't seem to have to be even. I mean, somebody must have gotten nobody. But everybody kind of looked around and they asked around, I suppose. And they said, well, you know, Sue's really good at this. It's interesting. And it's professional and she keeps time. And you know what I mean? A whole bunch of administrative good things, too. And so I have a huge, diverse group of people who have two things really in common. They're employed by the same organization, but at completely different levels of job, and they go to the seminar. They go to my workshop. Well, yeah, that's enough, because the other thing they have in common is they're interesting people. Mm-hmm. And we deal mostly in learning and in questions that are applicable, if you think about it, to everyone, right? Yeah, but it makes it, what I'm telling you is it's not boring. The thing is to make, even though you've had a lot of experience with it, you've got different questions, different topics, right? Yes. And the main thing to remember is that they've never seen it before. That's the main thing. They've never seen it before, right? It's new to them. They certainly shouldn't be bored. And you shouldn't be bored because it's exciting to impart knowledge to someone. And one of the reasons I'm never bored is that I don't use a script. I recommend not doing that very, very highly. For a while there, I refused to use a PowerPoint. I thought it was kind of like notes on the screen. I still do not have a PowerPoint that has words. Just there's some that refer to the chapter, and they've got this, the little quote from the front of the chapter. But not the kind that's like notes on the screen, nothing more boring. And then you get stuck doing it. I have a PowerPoint that's extremely interactive, and what I say about it changes with each group because they want to learn something different, right? Yeah, that's the idea. Fabulous. Yes. So we have no boredom because of our experience. Experience is a good thing, right? Yeah. And we're going to try not to have midlife crisis and not want to teach people anymore. Yeah, it's a good point. People are saying midlife crisis usually turns out badly. depends. Sometimes people go off and do something they always wanted to do. I consider that, I guess because I have a lot of responsibilities. I have a lot of family responsibilities. And I take them very seriously. But I think doing something on the side is always fun. Pick up a hobby. Then you won't be so bored. Yeah. What a fun hobby. What hobby do I have? Did I mention family responsibilities? I don't actually have any hobbies. My hobby is teaching seminars and workshops. Yay, because I love to. And it is more educational than doing a mediation, which I also love. But my hobby is really doing the speaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my hobby involves my first love. Yay! Recipe for Peace Now and teaching mediation, negotiation, and alternative dispute resolution and civil discourse skills. Yes, around the world. Yay! Mm-hmm. So what else should we do if we have too much experience? Mm-hmm. You know, Curtis and others are saying something dear to our hearts because we talk about this a lot, right? That when you feel that you're getting bored and you've got too much experience for this, you need to recognize and control your preconceived notions. This is true of the participants, too. Sometimes they think that they're too important to need a seminar or a workshop or to talk it over with anyone. I know what I'm doing. Yeah? You got a lot of experience, but you got a lot of preconceived notions, too, right? You need to recognize and control your preconceived notions so you can come with an open mind. This is true of the leader, right? Because we come in with preconceived notions. For heaven's sakes, they're born of experience. Mm-hmm. But you have to recognize that. You have to recognize that this is not the group you saw yesterday with the same general issue. These are entirely new people. This is entirely new to them. And they need to resolve it. And some of them have come with preconceived notions. And you might have some too. Yes, and recognize and control them. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting point. Yeah, a lot of Perlita and others are saying that you need to welcome the teaching moment, right? You're really the teacher at all times when you're the leader, and you need to recognize and welcome that. Welcome the teaching moment. Welcome the moment to be able to say, ah, look, let's learn something. Let's really get together with this. Yeah, welcome the teaching moment. This is an interesting point, and we do a Recipe for Peace Now, we do this, and it's always interesting. And really, it's a breath of fresh air in Americanism. It really brings new perspective, right? Theo and others are saying that if you've got too much experience and you're feeling kind of bored, bring in an intern or an apprentice, right? They really will bring a new perspective. And it's a teaching moment. You can impart your knowledge, your wisdom, your experience to someone else. Yeah. Zoe says you should always share wisdom whenever possible. And experience really is wisdom, isn't it? Yes. So bring in an intern or an apprentice, somebody to kind of shadow you. And then talk about it with them. We have interns. I don't know if they're apprentices, really, because we don't have an apprentice program, but we have an intern program at Recipe for Peace Now, and people earn college credit, right? And, well, they earn perks. They get to go with, and I guess they earn pizza. We don't really pay them money, but it's college credit, and it's experience. And they love it, and they're interested, and they ask all kinds of questions. We get together once a week, and we actually hold a session where we have some food, and we ask questions and talk about the week and what happened, and like that. Yeah. Yeah, not for the private clients, because that's attorney-client privilege, but for the Recipe for Peace Now clients, especially because we do some organizations and we do a lot of work between diverse organizations and cultures and religions and peoples who need to get together to effectuate change, right? Yeah. And they're not really clients in that respect, and they give permission for the intern to be there. Yeah. But it's a, I don't know if I should call it civic duty, like to get something on a ballot, like to get a law change, that kind of work. Recipe for Peace Now uses interns for. Yeah, you don't use them for. I mean, the professional negotiators, but they come and they help and they do organization and they listen in, and sometimes they've come from one of the organizations, and they even have like an opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're allowed. I mean, they're people too. They're really adults. They're not high school students or something. They are usually. I kind of recommend, to keep you kind of interested and not have boredom, I kind of recommend an intern or an apprentice who can really have a valid opinion. And I mean, high school and grammar school children are nice, and they're interesting, and they ask wonderful questions. I guess we don't really use them. We use mostly students who are earning an advanced degree, like master's degree, oftentimes in international law or negotiation or international business or something like that, with only negotiation skills. Yeah. So that's what. But anyway, they keep you on your toes. They keep you interested. They ask the most wonderfulest questions, and they have interesting input, especially nowadays when everything is moving so fast with technology. Yes, the interns are invaluable because they're young and they really use technology seamlessly. And sometimes they tell me something that I didn't even know existed. Really? I mean, it's like, really? We can do that? Just say something. Why didn't somebody tell me this sooner? And they're like, well, it just got invented a month ago. Well, fabulous. Yes. So I love the word app. It's like, really? We could do that? Yes. So anyway, yeah, interns are fabulous. And they're a way to keep... their way to keep you from getting bored, because you can't be bored. It's so interesting. Yes. Shanta and others are saying, in order, if you have a lot of experience and you're feeling a little, well, a little bored out, you can volunteer as a mentor. Yeah, volunteer. Say, look, I have all this experience, and I'd like to use this as a teaching moment. I'd like to come and tell you how to work things. Yes, I'd love to. Yeah, Alex and others are saying you can also be an adjunct professor. You can actually teach a class. That is almost being a volunteer. I just thought I'd say that because of the pay. I do it. I am what they call nowadays an associate professor. It means I teach one class. Quite frankly, I teach it online, but I have a lot of very interesting students. And I teach international law and business mediation. Hey, right in my field house, right where I work. And being online is indeed interactive, yes. And it's very interesting. I have students from all over the world. One of the scholarship opportunities, she said, they're MBA students, they're Master of Business Association. So they have already got college degrees, and they are working towards a Master in Business. It's an advanced degree, yes. And one of the perks, I would say, all right, a lot of them are Starbucks employees, because if you are a certain level in Starbucks, they will help you with college. And we are one of the colleges they will send you to. Yes, yes. And so it's very interesting because they have kind of a corporate background that's similar, but very, very different opinions and very different ideas of how to implement the corporate culture, because they come from all over the world. Yes, it's fabulous. Yes, it is taught in English. It is, unfortunately, it is the only language that I speak, and at least speak fluently. I speak pidgin, several other things, but it wouldn't work for teaching or really, really for polite conversation. And yes, I guess the syntax is interesting too. But yes, it is taught in English, and they write in English and send it to me and like that. There's all kinds of assignments and things, and we get together, and it's fabulous. And I recommend it. Become an associate professor. It takes so much time that it will work out to about 36 cents an hour in pay if you do it right. But it's still a way to really be a teaching moment and to really impart knowledge and experience to the next generation. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of a labor of love. Yeah. You know, that is actually true. People are saying thank you for doing this radio show because, of course, it's free. I don't get paid for it, and you don't have to pay to listen to it. And we learn things. Yeah, yeah. As associate teaching is kind of like this radio show. It's a labor of love and of giving back to the world, really, because you are my community in the sense that you come back and we listen and we talk together, but you're all over the world. And anyone can listen and not even participate. You can just listen. Yeah. We have a certain percentage of people that just do that. They just listen. They listen to it archived, so they don't particularly participate. But, yeah, you should give back. You should do something to keep you from getting bored and to share your experience. Because there is no such thing as too much experience, because you can always share. Because you've got a lot. Yeah. Okay. Now we've gone past our time for that one. Oh yeah, the chances of us getting to the recipes are not real good. Sorry about that, guys. But we're having such a wonderful discussion. So what's the next one on our list? How about over specialization? You've gotten kind of a specialty, you're very good at it, and you've gotten known for it. And so that's all anybody ever brings you. Yeah, yeah. That happens. I guess I haven't over-specialized, that's true, because I do people skills mainly nowadays, but I do a lot of tax and contract work, right? And if I may say so, and this is really true, I love doing it, I love negotiating it, but in between the people time, I must confess there's a lot of boring reading. Yeah, there is. Tax and contract law, it's especially tax law. Yeah. There's some dull evenings there where you're slogging through something and go, really? You know, in the olden days, Abraham Lincoln, remember, this is a long time ago in the United States, right? Because he was very long ago. Like, I don't know how long ago Abraham Lincoln was. You can all Google it. But 200 years ago, so to speak, lawyers, attorneys, actually got paid by the word when they did a contract. I know that's kind of weird, but true. And so they got very verbose because they got paid by the word. And there was a lot of wherefores and thus and therefores and thereas and stuff like that. Filler. I get paid by the word. I fill in extra words, lots of extra words, pages and pages and pages. And sometimes I think that people are still getting paid by the word. Never mind. I digressed, yeah. So over-specialization, sometimes you get that. So what should we do about it? Don and others are saying you can join with a different type of group as a participant. Yeah, expand your horizons. Learn stuff. Go join something that is completely outside your wheelhouse, completely outside your expertise, that nobody expects you to know about or be there. Right? Yeah. Join as a participant. Learn about it. And it's interesting to see other leaders do things. I love that. I love to be a participant, too, because it teaches me things about my leadership skills. Right? Yeah. And then you're on the participant side, and then you're in on all the discussion about the leader that the participants are doing. Right? Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is good. Marsha and others are saying you should go and get continuing education training in a different field. Yes. You know, in the United States, and I imagine other places in the world too, if you are a professional, in order to keep up your license, you have an actual license that you certify your education, and that certifies your ability to work in the field. I have a law license, for example. CPAs have a CPA, certified public accountants have a CPA license, and nurses and that stuff. And you have to take continuing classes in order to keep that up, to show that your skills are up to date, right? Right. And a lot of times, people just take something in their own field because it's something they'll use and something they're comfortable with. And it is, yes, it's not exactly graded, but you have to, like, get a passing score. Some of them actually have a little quiz at the end of them, but you have to listen to it and like that, and you might be interested in your own field. In order to keep from getting bored, pick something else, right? Yeah, pick something you don't even do, right? Mm-hmm. I like to learn new things, yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid. Pardon me. I like the latest ones because I like computer law, because I don't know very much about it. You know, I guess I do know a lot about it now, but there's always something changing, and I think it's interesting. Yeah, so I like to know that. I guess it's a business thing, but I'm still interested. Mm-hmm. Thomas and others are saying that you, in order to prevent from being over-specialized and get experienced somewhere else so that you have a broader base and broader expertise that you can tell to people, you can volunteer at Legal Aid. Now, legal aid in the United States, there's legal aid offices all over the place. And it is, well, you have to be a lawyer, I suppose, in order to do it. But there's other kinds of volunteer, help the community type things. It's where people who cannot afford a lawyer come to get help if they're having a legal problem, if they need someone to speak for them. The lawyers are fabulous. It's mostly, I suppose, kind of family law, but other types of things. It depends if they deal with adults or children, because if they deal with children, it's guardianship law. That's family law. But it's certainly a different horizon. I would expand it, and a lot of you are expanding it, to volunteer with different organizations. And that'll give you expertise in a broader horizon. And quite frankly, a broader amount of people that you know in different areas. Because quite frankly, if you're over-specializing, you kind of have a base of connections too, right? People that you know that really do that kind of work. And that's fine, but you want to be able to broaden your horizons and say, look, this is what I do also. Yeah. So broaden your horizons over specialization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excuse me. Ray Lynn and others are saying expand your practice in logical steps. And that's really what you're doing. You're meeting new people. You're getting new expertise and impressing people with your abilities and branching out, right? Because you have gotten over-specialized and you are getting a little bored with it. And instead of just ditching it, running off, you're going to expand your horizons and work on really thinking about what kind of interesting thing you'd like to do in the future. Right? Right, yeah. Now, what's our other one that causes us to have boredom? The next one up was lack of enthusiasm. Yeah? You've gotten kind of, you know, there's an expression in the United States called burned out. And probably it applies all over the place. It's kind of an Americanism. This is a global show. But it means that you kind of, you lost your enthusiasm. You're dragging yourself to do stuff, but you really don't feel enthusiastic about it anymore, right? Yeah, and that's maybe because you've gotten over-specialized, but also it's just a lack of enthusiasm. Cynthia and others are saying as leader, you need to be a good example, and then you'll become enthusiastic because of the strong group dynamic. Yeah, you have to evidence enthusiasm. Other people will get enthusiastic because they go, wow, this is really interesting. And it'll be catchy. You'll catch it, right? Yeah. That happens. You get a strong group dynamic because you're a good leader and you're setting a good example. And then you feel the strong group dynamic too. It's not just them. It's everybody's feeling kind of upbeat about this, kind of enthusiastic, kind of, wow, this is really good. I would really like... I really like doing this. I'm feeling quite enthusiastic about it, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hussein says that you need, if you're having a lack of enthusiasm, you need to step back and recommit. Step back and recommit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To really think about how come you've lost your enthusiasm, why you were enthusiastic in the first place, and what we're going to do about it. Mm-hmm. Step back and recommit. Right? Yeah. People are talking about taking a little time off, right? Yes. Take a little time off and maybe take a little mini vacation there so that you don't lose the group dynamic, you don't lose the group, but just kind of take three deep breaths, right? Mm-hmm. When I get overstressed and over, kind of lose my enthusiasm for one of my groups, one of my mediation or negotiation assignments, one of my clients, yeah? Sometimes it's kind of dragging and I'm starting to flag, you know what I mean? Just because there's a lot of them. And I've gotten overworked. And it has nothing really to do with them. I've gotten stressed, right? Overbooked. I've over-negotiated. I've had late nights and like that. I've put in too many hours. And I'm starting, and I can feel that I haven't got the good leader, good example, perky enthusiasm that I'm supposed to have. And I haven't evidenced it yet because I am self-aware and I realize that I am not giving 105% to everyone. And they need it. This is their first time. It may be my 100th time, but this is their first. And they need to have enthusiasm and competency and to be walked through the process and to reach a successful outcome. When I've got that and I can't go anyplace, which I'm usually too busy to actually just leave out of town, you know what I do? I actually, you know how you don't rent one anymore, it just streams. I watch a trash movie. I do. I just take a couple of hours off. I put my feet up. I get myself a bowl of something really delicious and bad for you to eat, right? Like popcorn, maybe potato chips. Yeah, popcorn's my favorite. And I just kick back and I watch something really grade B because I like it. Preferably really awful sci-fi. People are asking what my favorite one is and what the last one that I watched is. You won't tell anyone, right? It's a public program. Everybody will know. You know what I watched last? I watched Mars Attacks. Fabulous. It's very old. Their little heads explode from Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald. It's the funniest darn thing you ever saw. It's a real grade B, possibly grade C if you're feeling cranky, sci-fi movie. And I love it. I love bad sci-fi. I just sit there and I just pretend that nothing, I take 2 hours off, pretend that I don't need to use those 2 hours for clients because I'm getting stressed. I just sit back and eat popcorn and watch bad sci-fi. Yeah, so there. But something like that, take off a few hours just to get the kinks out of your neck and be less stressed, and then come back refreshed because you've had a little break. Sometimes you need a little break. Sometimes I need a little break in between reading texts. Contracts, yeah. So step back and recommit, as Hussein says. Yeah. Yeah, Michelle says that's really self-awareness to rekindle enthusiasm for the project. Just a little break. Rekindle. Be self-aware that you're about to lose your enthusiasm. That your level's starting to go down. You're getting kind of stressed. Yeah, people read a book. Yes, that's good too. Yes, okay, we've got a vote for binge watch for a day, some sort of thing that you really like. Just kind of not deal with anybody for a little while. Yeah, I can only binge watch in two hour increments. That's what happens to me. Then somebody wants something, but you could make a little spot. Like once a week to do that. I kind of try to. I don't always make it. But I try to kind of do something non-business-like just for amusement every week. Just put up my... Yeah, I know. I'm afraid that I do go for the solitary ones because I am constantly bombarded by people who want to be with me and possibly need something. Yeah. So I like to kick back and just in private watch something that's just silly. And not have to share my bowl of popcorn with anybody. Oops, did I say that? Yeah. Yeah. So step by step you recommit. Yeah. Your lack of enthusiasm. That's self-awareness, really. Ray says you can also gather others to create a strong clique of enthusiasm. Yeah, if you are kind of solitary and you need to get out and talk to people. See, I'm the opposite. I get out too much to talk to people, so I like to do something solitary. But if you're the other way around and you really need to recommit and get enthusiasm by really reconnecting with people, gather a clique of enthusiasm. You could go to the movies together and watch something grade B. Yes. I'm hoping to make it to James Bond. Any questions? There's a new James Bond movie out. I don't know if it's worldwide or not, but it's in the United States. And yes, I'm afraid. Yeah, people, I'm afraid I always do consider James Bond kind of grade B because they make no sense, right? It's kind of like, oh, good, gratuitous violence. Fabulous. Oh, you guys are going for the gratuitous sex scenes. Very well. All right. Yes, so you could gather others around you to make a clique of enthusiasm. Ray is right. Yeah, lack of enthusiasm. Mohammed is going for peer pressure. that you get people to keep you on the straight and narrow and to keep you enthusiastic, because they say things like, how come you're not, right? Peer pressure. I like it. So what's our next one? Oops, we're going to run out of time. What's our next one, which is lack of respect? Huh? That's kind of boredom. Showing is a lack of respect, or maybe the lack of respect is showing is boredom, right? It's kind of, well, kind of borderline hostile, right? Lack of respect. That goes to body language too, right? Where they're sitting there with their arms crossed, staring into space, right? We don't allow things like that now, do we? That's a sure way to get called on. But sometimes the lack of respect, sometimes you do secretly have kind of a lack of respect for the group participants. Because I usually have this, I confess it, when they're kind of pompous. Ever had that? Where they're just, they think they're too important to be there, and you think that really they're not really God's gift to humanity. Yeah? Yeah. So you need to watch the body language, and you need to engage them, and you need to be, as the leader, very, very well prepared so that they cannot disrespect you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a question of preparation and of asserting control over the group and of making everyone a part of the group. Because if they aren't, and you've got non-participants, for example, you will not have a strong group dynamic. You need to bring them into the group as much as you may consider them kind of a pain. They need to either be removed from the group, which could be an answer too, or they need to be integrated into the group. There's no second ground. They need to be part of the group dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. And this is where we also talk to them in private, right? It's the body language. Mm-hmm. You know what? Lack of respect goes also from the leader as your personal opinion, which you would never state. But you got to watch your own body language too, because it affects the group. In fact, your body language affects the group more than anybody's, because they're watching too, even if they're not doing it consciously. But your attitude will impact how they interact with each other. Your attitude is very important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the lack of respect and the body language goes both ways, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lack of respect is also lack of empathy. Mm-hmm. So you need to work on that. That we need to listen with understanding. Remember that empathy is listening with understanding. It is not necessarily agreement. Listening with understanding, not necessarily agreement. Right? Yeah. That's the key. That's the ticket. I'm going to listen with understanding. I don't necessarily have to agree with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you do need to listen. And you know, we're very big, I always emphasize this, the five W's. You have to. That's what empathy, listening with empathy is, listening for these five questions. Who, what, where, when, and why. And actually asking them, maybe. Who, what, where, when, and why. That'll give you empathy. You'll understand, at least, why somebody has that position. And you might even help them to come towards you and go towards them. So we meet in the middle and we make consensus, right? Because we're all going to have some compromise. That is unavoidable. And that's life, right? Yeah. So lack of respect is also kind of lack of empathy, and that's a symptom of boredom, right? You look bored, but what's really happened is you've lost respect, or you never had it. We're going to listen with empathy. We're going to work on our body language. We're going to understand why. You got to think about this yourself, too. If you're heading towards that kind of boredom, you have to know it, think about it, the why. And you have to understand it in others. That's the empathy. Mm-hmm. Yes, lack of respect. Ye and others and Naiva and others are talking about the civility rules, right? The civility rules will make lack of respect at least not come to the surface and impede negotiation, right? That's the ticket. The civility rules are very simple. I know we talk about them a lot on this show. The civility rules at their base, because Recipe for Peace Now has very few actual rules, but this is the only one. The civility rules at their most basic say, no one will be rude to anyone else. We will not be rude to each other. They get expanded from there, depending on your group, about taking turns when speaking, about the use of crude language, about personal attacks, about refusing to reach consensus, about bullying, all those things, right? Depends on the group. But at their very core, the civility rules say we will not be rude to each other. And that's a very good rule to have, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we're getting towards the end stretch because we've got like 7 minutes. Yes, and I apologize. I don't think we're going to get to the recipes again. Sometimes that happens to us. You say frequently, yeah, well. We have such a good discussion, and we've only got an hour together. And we forget to do, well, we don't have to for the recipe part. Mm-hmm. You know what? I should also say this is a good point, that prior shows, and some of them even do have recipes, are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Mm-hmm. So our last two in our areas of boredom that happens to us is the reason for it is refusal to listen and lack of understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what should we do about that? We've gotten kind of bored and we're tuning out. We're refusing to listen, and we're really not listening with understanding, with empathy anymore. We're just, we've made up our minds, yeah. So what should we do about it? Mm-hmm. Gordon and others are saying you need to make a conscious effort to listen with an open mind. And that is a conscious effort, even if you're a very open-minded person. You always have to think about it. Am I really listening, or am what I am, a lot of people think they're listening, but what they're doing is they are interpreting what is being said into their own preconceived notions. Think about that. Sometimes that even happens to us, and you have to watch for it. It looks like they're listening. They are listening, but they're not listening with understanding and empathy. They're listening to reinterpret what's said into their own context, right? They are listening with a preconceived notion. They're squishing whatever's said into what they think. Yeah, no. That's not having an open mind. You need to have an open mind so you can learn something, so that you can truly understand the who, what, where, when, and why. Mm-hmm. And in return, the other parties need to listen with empathy and understanding and really a conscious effort to listen with an open mind. A lot of times I actually plain come out and say it, that we need to make a conscious effort to do that. Mm-hmm. Alejandro and others are saying that in order to combat boredom, for all of this, really, but especially for the lack of empathy and refusal to listen, and really the other ones too, that you need to take off some time off and come back refreshed. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to not disband the group, but maybe the whole group could do something fun for a change. Yeah, do something with each other. Even if the fun is related to what you're talking about. Might have something to do with visiting some sort of an area, visiting a site, visiting, I don't know, something historic. I like if I see the group is getting bored and kind of cranky. That's what the food is for, and next time we'll talk about food because we've got 3 minutes. But I like to go on a field trip. I like to do something. Something that everybody can agree is pleasant, right? And an agreed to time. Perhaps during the time when we meet, because we've all already got that on our calendars. Yeah, we could go do something fun instead of talking about what we're getting a little bit bored with. Yeah, kind of rekindle our, well, relationship, I suppose is a good word, but rekindle our enthusiasm, right? I like to go incorporate something that has to do with what we're talking about. Okay, I will give you a quick example. The last time I did this, and quite frankly, it was last month, I have a group that is dealing with research and funding and dealing with governments and like that, and having to do with medical advancement, I'm going to call it. And so we took a field trip to really see the advancement in action, to really see how it was helping people, to really see what a wonderful and important thing we were doing. And yes, we had some food together and like that in a real restaurant, and we talked about it, and we decided that it was so important that we were going to set aside our boredom and our differences and get back on track. Very important to understand what the mission is and how important it is, and that it's bigger than any kind of boredom or petty dispute. Yeah, take off and come back refreshed. Let's take off together. And come back with renewed enthusiasm and renewed commitment to the goal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Grace and others are saying that in order to do that, you really have to see the group as individuals and not as members of the group, right? I like a mission-oriented, I'm going to call it a field trip, a mission-oriented take off and go and see the impact that we're having, or the impact that needs to be, right? Yeah. Yes, we actually, it was more than walking distance. We actually hired a driver. We hired a little van. There was, let's see, there's 15 people. And so we hired one of those little buses, yeah. And then we had a driver, and then we could all maybe have a cocktail and like that, and nobody had to be responsible, and you didn't have to carpool. You know, all that stress stuff was out. We all just went together, yeah, as a group. It was lots of fun. And it was lots of fun. It rekindled, it got us out of the boredom. It rekindled our mission. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, my friends, we are out of time. Yes, we will do the recipes next time. Sorry about that. But we had such a wonderful discussion. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your wonderful ideas and for your wonderful thoughts. Yes, if you'd like to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website is www.recipeforpeacenow.com. If you would like to hear prior shows, they're archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.